right to the song every time.
What's goody good, y'all? It's your girl, Miss Gecko, and tonight is an interview with Gennaro Patterson. He's an author, and he got a new book out called Promise. I read the first 10 chapters of the book, and it's a read. It's a page-turner. For those who's into hip-hop type novels, it's a hip-hop novel. And it's a good one. And I'm waiting for him to call in so we can get this interview on it popping. But while we do that, you know what? While we do that, I'm going to play some music so he come in. And right now, we're playing Maxwell's Ascension right now. Maxwell with Ascension. I'm waiting for Janelio Patterson to call in and get this interview popping. He is the first author that I've interviewed on the show. So I guess maybe he forgot. So I'm going to check. No. Got to be on the ball. Okay. Because I'm checking through all the correspondence to see if he gave me his number. But I told him when I sent him the information about the show, I said, call 5 minutes before show starts. He said, okay, I got you. But what he did was, I think it was Sunday or Saturday. The Sunday or Saturday, he emails me and was like, oh, he can't get in. And I'm like, well, the show ain't till Monday. You're calling in mad early. So I think Sunday I sent him the info, or Saturday I sent him the info, and he tried to call in on the show, and he called in days early. And I think now he forgot. And I let him know, I let every person who I interview know that my show comes on every day at 11 p.m. Eastern. So if you're on the West Coast time, that's West Coast, that's 8 o'clock your time. And I think Central time, I think that might be 9 or 7. I don't know how, you know, the time zones really go. Either they are an hour ahead of West Coast or an hour below West Coast. I don't know. But no, I let people know my show is Eastern time. And he's a new author on the scene. He needs to, I'm trying to help him promote this good book by doing an interview and telling y'all to go copy it. It's only $15. And that's not bad, you know what I'm saying? I know books like that, you go to the bookstore, might be about $15-$20, no more than that. Shouldn't be no more than that. But he has his own, he has his site to go buy the book is, if you email him at gpthelegend@yahoo.com, he'll send you 10 free chapters of the book Promise. And then you'll get to read 10 chapters, and then if you like it, you can go buy the book. I read the 10 chapters, like I said in the beginning, and it's a page turner. It's an easy read. It's not one of those books that you're reading it and you put it down and you don't want to go back. You don't go back to it. I read the 10 chapters in one day because they're 10 short chapters. They're not really that long of a chapters, but I read the 10 chapters in one day. And when I got to the last chapter, I wanted to read more. Because he doesn't give you the whole 10th chapter. See, that's where he gets you at. He doesn't give you the whole 10th chapter because when you get to the end, you're like, okay, there's more to this. And it's like, you want to read more, so in order to read more, you got to buy the book. And that's a good thing. My mother's an avid book reader, so I had to ask her, was that a good plot, you know, a good strategy of his to get people to buy the book by giving them 10 free chapters? And she said, yeah, that's good. See, I do read books, but I'm not an avid book reader. I'm going to admit to that. And still no call from Janelio. Well, I think in one of the emails he sent me, I think he gave me his number. So what I'm going to do, like I did the last show when I did the Black Oak Appreciation Show, I called my brother, you know, to give him an appreciation live on air. So I think that's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to call Janelio live on air. Because I think he forgot about the interview. So what I'm going to do is get... So if you hear me be quiet, that's because I'm typing the number. What I'm going to do before I type the number, I'm going to play another song. Because I would hate for this whole show to go to a bust. So what I'm going to do is play another song while I call. Because you know what? I do love you. I love you. Because I love you for always rocking with me and tuning in. So that's the song I'm going to play right now by Billy Stewart. I do love you. Professional about it. Indie artists, authors, whatever you do in the industry, you have to be professional about it, because you're booking interviews with, even if it's a small indie radio, it doesn't matter. You gotta be professional about it, because you got people who come to listen to an interview. Your fans, whoever your fans are coming to listen to an interview, and when they tune in, there's no interview, they're going to be like, you passing around links for us to listen to your interview, and there's no interview. Like, I know y'all don't want to hear me play music all night. I'm glad I still kept the music up from last night's show. Last night, I went out of school. You know, in honor of my dad who passed that, you know, on Christmas, you know, 6 years ago. And I'm glad I kept the music up. Because as you see, somebody in the first half of the hour, okay, our show was for an hour and a half. So that half is already at 14 minutes. We still got an hour in it to go to do the interview. So he still got time, even though he's late. I understand, you know, people got other things they, you know, he's promoting his book, so I will understand him not calling in on time because he's promoting his book. But if the show keeps going and that hour mark hits and it's going down and down and down, he totally forgot. He dropped the ball. Once I send you the information with the link so people, you can pass it around so people can tune in, and I give you the show number to call in, and I tell you to call 5 minutes before the show. And the reason why I tell artists and everybody who I do interviews with to call 5 minutes before the show starts so that when the show starts, you can get right into the interview. And we can play as much of your music as we can. So if you sent me 5 songs of yours to play from your new album, because you want people to hear your music, and you want, if you call early, as soon as the show starts, I can use one of your songs, or one of the 5 songs as an intro, and then that leaves me 4 other songs to play during while we're interviewing. So, I don't know if he just plain forgot, because he wanted to do it the same day I asked him for the interview, and that was, I think, on what? I think it was Wednesday, because he was on Kings in the Morning, which is my favorite morning show, right here on BTR, and he was on there, and I said, you know what, I want to interview him. So the host said, she wants to interview you, I'm going to give you her information, not going to exchange, you know, set everything up to do the interview. So he wanted to do it that day, but I already had the show planned. So when I have my shows already planned and you ask for an interview that same day, I can't do it. I'm not going to reschedule the show to give you an interview. You know, I'm just not meeting you, so, you know what I'm saying? But that's what happened. And I couldn't do it that day, so I said, how about Monday? Because I had a show planned for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I wasn't going to knock those, you know, reschedule those just to do the interview. Because these already been planned months in advance. So, it's already at the 11-minute mark of that half. And like I said, once it gets to that hour mark, if he don't call in, then I already know that this interview is a bust. And then we're going to have to reschedule another one. But I'm going to try to call him again to see if I get through. If not, then if we don't get through, I'm going to try right now live on air to see if I get him before the hour comes in and the show is a bust.
all the things that we've been through, you should understand me like I understand you. Now, baby, I know the difference between right and wrong. I ain't gonna do nothing to upset our happy home. Children, when we are your father's father.
All right, everybody. I do have Janario on the line right now. Like I said, I had to call him so we can get this interview on and popping. So we're going to do this interview about his book, Promise, and about his children's books that he had. He has two children's books. Right now, I'm going to give you his website info. I just have to find that email that he gave me, his website info. So give me a minute, y'all, because there's a lot of things, you know, people give me the info, I don't remember it by heart. Okay, his website to check out his books is infoaccess.biz. That's infoaccess.biz. And there you can purchase Promise. He has a few other books on there besides Promise. You know, that's the hood novel. And he got two children's books. And I'm gonna let Janario on the line so we can get this interview on there popping. So let me let Janario on the line. What's good, Janario? You on the line? You on the air now?
Okay. How you doing today?
I'm good today. How you doing today?
Oh, it's beautiful. I'm having a good time. I enjoy my holidays. And yours?
Mine was good. So what was the first book you wrote? Was Promise your first book? Or did you write a book before that?
Well, I wrote 25 volumes of educational children books. The Promise was my first urban book that I've written.
All right. All about the kiddies.
You know, we love the children. You know, we want to educate the children. You know, trying to make the place a better place for them.
So what made you decide to become an author?
Well, I had been doing music. I was on Death Row Records, and then I started doing DVDs and videos, and, you know, I was doing pretty good in my career, but I had a fall, and I ended up getting incarcerated. So I was so close to success, I just really felt, you know, failure very deep at that moment in defeat, and being in there, I knew I couldn't really just write 1,000 raps because I had received like 10-year sentence and I couldn't do videos no more. So I tried to do something positive to do that might help the world, make it a better place. Started thinking of my entertainment as more of a way to be able to be some type of teacher or help. So I started writing my educational children books. And they were really good and everything, but with the type of crowd that I had, which was inmates and convicts, you know, when I asked them to read them, they would like it and everything, but it just really didn't grab their attention the way I wanted. And I noticed that they was reading urban books. I had tried to stay away from urban books because I really didn't want to get involved back into that thought pattern again, because I knew in the end you would either get 25 years or you would end up probably getting killed. So I tried my hand at the urban books to see how it would work out, and I went to the guy that I knew that just strictly read urban books, and once he read my book, he was like, "Wow, you got any more pages?" And that's where I took off from then. I started writing 10 pages every day for 30 days, and at the end of 30 days, I was done with the first book, Promise.
I read your 10 chapters you sent me in one day. That's how good of a read it is. That if somebody could read 10 chapters, you know, I read books, but I don't read like that. And to be able to really sit and focus and read all 10 chapters in one day, that's a good thing for me. Because usually I have an urban book, just like yours, that I haven't even finished yet. It might be more chapters than yours, but I haven't even finished it yet. Not to say it's a bad read, but sometimes, you know, when certain books you read don't really keep you interested in reading it, so you got to read it in parts. And I think that's what I'm reading with this book. It's taking me a while to really get into it, like I want to get into it, but when I read the 10 chapters of Promise, I was into it. And then when I got to the end, I was like, I know there's more to this 10th chapter. I was like, I know there's more. And I feel like I was left on a cliffhanger, like I'm watching a movie, waiting to see what's going to happen next. I explained that to people, you know, when I read it, I said it was a good read. And if they want to get it, they should, you know, I told them to email you, because I think I mentioned your email when I did a previous show, because I talked about the book a little bit. And I think I said your email. If they wanted 10 free chapters, you know, to contact you, I said it's a good read, and it's going to make you want to get the book.
Oh, yeah, when I wrote the book, you know, they tell me I have a unique way of writing. For one, I kind of write I start out with action, and then I kind of go backwards to let you know basically what happened. But not only that, it's the fact that the book, when you read the book, you can relate to the characters. You know, you can relate to the language if you are familiar with the language being spoken so raw and uncut like that. If you're not familiar with the language and you're able to get past that, then you really will get into the story and the emotions and the feelings. You know, like, for instance, if you're not a person who actually ever lived that life, you know, you would begin to understand why they think that way, why they do what they do, and you'll begin to cry, and you'll begin to laugh with your characters, and you'll even begin to even cheer a character on that at first you probably felt distasteful about. But if you are in the game, this book will really put you right in there where you can actually look at it from the outside, looking in, and be able to understand, no matter the power or the success that you might receive by being in the game, you know, you're never really going to be stress-free until you begin to think outside the box and think further than across the street. Because most of us, you know, we never leave our neighborhood, we never leave our city, we never leave our state. So at the age of 14, we're hanging out in the park, and at the age of 64, we're still in the same park. So we basically live our whole life right there in the neighborhood. But with Promise, if you continue to read, you will notice that he will become a success, but he will start thinking smarter. Promise becomes such a good thinker that it's a good chance that he can possibly be the president, regardless of where he came from, regardless of where we all came from. We're all in control of our destination, and thought is a power. So regardless where we came from and regardless how we begin our thinking process, as we continue to grow, as the thinking process changes, that's how we receive success.
So you're going to keep writing about Promise, or you're just going to do one book?
Oh, I've already written three series. I have Promise 1, I have Promise 2, I have Promise 3. As I mentioned earlier, when I was incarcerated and I started writing a book, and he asked me that I have more, I had to go back and write more. Well, the word started getting around that I really got a really good book that people can really relate to, and it's really a pace burner and a fast read, and it's exciting. And so they start asking, well, can I read it, and can I read it? And the ones that was in the beginning started saying, well, could you write more, and could you write more? So I was kind of, once I wrote the first book, they wanted more. So I had to continue to write. So I ended up writing Promise 2. I ended up writing Promise 3. And after Promise 3, I just started writing new urban books. I wanted to see if I was flexible. Can I write something, you know, that's still good, but on a whole different character and a whole different plot and everything? So I ended up writing more books. And I wrote The Lawyer, Twin Evil, White Trash, Beautiful. And altogether, I have 15 urban books.
Because I was like, when I read it, and I was like, when you mentioned who Farmer's girlfriend is, said she's a Chinese girl, I was like, you know what? This is something different. Because, you know, most urban books, the guys use these with a black chick, or maybe she's Spanish. And I was like, this is not the norm that a black dude who sells drugs would be with a Chinese chick who's going hard with him. Like, it's like she's going hard with him. You don't get most chicks that will go hard with their man like that. She's like, I got your back. She was his ride or die. I mean, you got some chicks that are like that, but most chicks, you know, when they mess with them drug dealers, they make sure they stay away from that side and just, you know, if he's giving money, they take that money and whatever he's offering as being, you know, his girl, but they don't be around the drugs and stuff, so they don't really know what's really going on. She's there. She got her pistol ready, you know, to shoot to kill just like him. I'm like, but when you look at Chinese people, you don't look at them as being some tough kind of people. You don't look at them like that.
But exactly.
She was going out for her man. She wasn't playing. She was like, I got your back.
And you notice how she had her broken English and everything. Probably in the beginning of the book, you probably was thinking it was some typo errors, or maybe it just wasn't reading smooth when she began to talk. But as you continue, you would notice, okay, she has broken English. Okay, now it's starting to even make more sense. But then she's a writer, though. She's really got his back. Even though they're different races, and even though he's very poor.
And I like that. I like that. You know, it's not the, you know, every book you hear about the black chick with the drug dealer, that's the girlfriend, and she's Miss Bougie. You know, most of the chicks be bougie, or some of them might be that ride or die chick, but she's black. You know, you wouldn't think that a black dude would go hook up with an Asian chick and she'd be his ride or die chick.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I wanted to comment on how you said you don't even usually read that much, and you know, how you compared it to another book. You was like, man, I still never ever finished that book, but I blew through your 10 chapters.
And I'm going to tell you, when I got that book? I got that book in October for my birthday. Me and my mother was in the bookstore. And I'm like, because the author who wrote the book is one of my friends on Facebook. And it's not a bad book. I'm not putting down the book. It's not a bad book. It's just that, and the story is good, but for some reason, since I started the book, I haven't really been reading it, like, straightforward through to even get to finish the book. Now, I started reading it in October, and I put it down. You know, you got to do other things, so we put it down to do other things. And I go back to it and read more chapters, and then I just never went back to it after a while.
Well, see, Promise, it makes you come back. You know, you can be at the grocery store, but the book is constantly on your mind, because when you read the book, it becomes a movie in your head. And it's a book that really magnetizes you. You know, it really keeps you going. And, you know, most people, this is the one thing that I really love about my book. You know, people always say, oh, my God, I read your book in 2 days, and I don't even read books. I'm a person who doesn't even read, but I couldn't put the book down once I started reading it. The other thing that they always say is, when the book is done, is, where's part two? I need part two. So, you know, you only had 10 chapters, and that's what I do. I want to send out 10 chapters. You know, if you email me, if you send me your email, I'm at GPDALegend. That's GPDALEGEND@yahoo.com. If you send your email, I will send you 10 free chapters. And the reason why I do that is I know that all I have to do is get people to start reading my book. It does the rest after that. And like you say, after the 10 chapters, you felt like you was on a cliff, you know, like you had just fell off. You just was left hanging. And that's what it's going to do. It's going to leave you right there, and it's going to make you say, oh, my God, I need the rest of the book.
Yeah. It's like you on a cliffhanger. It's like, okay, I know. Because I'm like, okay, I know there's more to the story. I'm like, I don't read the 10 chapters. There's more to the 10th chapter. And I'm like, people are really going to like this. But then when they get to that 10th chapter and they get to the end, they're going to realize there's more. I'm like, well, I thought he was sending a whole 10th chapter. No. See, that's the good thing about it. See, because some people who may be readers or may not really be avid readers may read the whole, say if you gave them the whole 10th chapter, they'll read him and think, okay, that's it, and they don't want to continue the story. Like, I read enough. I just from reading those 10 chapters, I know what the whole book is about. So that 10 chapters will do me fine. But then you see part two come out, and it's like, okay, part two is out. Now you're going to read part two. If you didn't finish part one, you ain't going to understand nothing about part two. That's what's good about, you know, books that do trilogies, because if you don't read the whole part one, you ain't going to stand part two.
Exactly. And them ten chapters, oh, my God, the book has so many twists and turns. That isn't even a taste of the book. You know, it goes one. I write different than most urban writers. Most urban writers will have the same characters from the beginning to the book all the way to the end. You know, you would just read their story. One thing about my book is people die. They die because they really die in the street. You know what I mean? It's going to be all the way real. You're dying in the street, so you're going to die in my book. So there's no guarantee that the best friend is going to make it all the way to the end of the movie, of the book, and there's no guarantee that the girlfriend is going to make it all the way to the end of the book, because it's like real life. You might die, a person might die in your hood today. A person might die in a hood down the way tomorrow. Three people might get killed at the club in the next 3 days. The bottom line is, in the black community or in the minority communities, people die. And, you know, it's an average at least 3 to 7 people a week. So add up. But if you don't know them personally or they're not from your hood, you haven't really realized that people die so rapidly. So in my book, I keep it all the way 100. I keep it truthful and I keep it realistic. Promise doesn't do anything that's some superhero stuff. He does everything like a real human with a real thought pattern, and he just tries to enhance his life.
Yep. As you know, I write as well, but I got so many stories that I've written that I haven't finished, and it's like, because every time a new story just pops in my head to write, so I just start writing a whole new one and not finishing the ones I've started.
Yeah, that happens sometimes too. I did start a book and didn't finish it, but sometimes you can take different parts from different stories and also create a nice, good book. But the main thing about writing is, like I said, I focused on writing 10 pages a day for 30 days. And at the end of 30 days,
good.
My herb. Yes, you have to focus on it. That way the story is really implanted in your mind and, you know, you can really just go. You know, I just go.
And what I like with my story, you see, we both come from areas that people would consider the hood. So we writing about the hood won't be hard. So it's not, you know what I'm saying, writing about the hood is not hard. But when you ain't from the area and you try to write about the area, it's going to be hard for you. Because you're not just a drug dealer standing on the corner selling, you know, drugs in front of your face. Most people are not used to that. You know, especially in the white suburban areas, you don't have drug dealers standing on the corner. Drug dealers be in their house selling it out of houses, like in suburban areas. You just go to their house and you go cop you whatever you need. In the urban areas, this dude's on the corner. You need some weed? That dude on the corner got it. You need some coke? That dude on the corner got it. And people will tell you which dude got what. So in the hood, you're going to find stuff like that. And that makes for a good story. But in suburban areas, you try to write about the hood, it ain't going to work. You gotta, I would say, for those that lived it, they know what they're talking about. If you ain't lived it, you can't really talk about it because you don't really know what really goes on.
Exactly. And that's what gives me the edge, you know, on my book. Also, it's the fact that I actually really lived a life. You know what I mean? When you live the life, like you said, it's easier for you to write about it. But another part of it is if you live the life, it's also easier for you to read about it and really feel it. See, you felt my writing because you also then grew up in similar situations, so you felt it all the way, and it just made you continue to read on until there was nothing else left to read. And I love that. I love what you're telling me. This is the type of reaction that I want. My book actually makes people read that usually don't read. And when I say people, I mean like, you know, minorities, people, you know, like of our standards that, you know, grew up in the hood. We only read if we're at work or if we're incarcerated. If we're actually free, we're not going to read because, like you said, we're on the corner, we're hanging out, you know, we're hustling, we're trying to make our tomorrows better than our yesterdays. But this is the first book that I see that is actually making people read that is not incarcerated or at work. If they see the book laying in the house, 13-year-olds are picking it up and reading it. 35-year-olds are reading it. And the other day, a 65-year-old woman read it. And I couldn't believe it. She called me and said, "I read your book in 2 days. She said, "I'm 65 years old, and I couldn't put it down." I couldn't believe she read the book. I was like, "Are you serious? That language didn't bother you?" And she said, "No, because when I was reading your book, I knew that you was talking about them same young men who hang out in front of my house every day on these blocks and these streets."
Because she lives in the hood and she can relate. That's the thing when most people read books. A lot of people who never grew up in the hood, when they read urban books, they really, because sometimes most of these stories is made, most of these people who write these stories, sometimes usually it's made up. Like some of the parts may be true, but not everything is real in the story. And some people read it and really think the hood is exactly how these people are writing it. The only way you know if it's real is if you actually lived in the hood.
Now, that's right. It's real. And I have
you know what I'm saying?
I had a radio station ask me that the other day. He said, how did I really feel about, you know, writers that write urban books that haven't really lived a life? And, you know, I kind of look at it just like rappers, you know, that try to do gangster rap when they wasn't really gangsters. People try to do whatever they think is in, you know, and they fake it till they make it. But the bottom line is the book is not going to captivate you as much as it will when it's written by somebody who actually lived a life. Because I don't focus a lot on painting the picture. You can see the picture very clear. I focus on showing you the picture, but moving with the story and moving right along with the story, just like it moves in the streets. In the streets, we don't focus on, you know, telling you every color on the Walmart building or giving you every detail. We give you enough where you know where you at, where you know how I smell and you know how I look and you know how I feel. But mostly, you need to focus on the thought pattern and how we're thinking and what drives us to make the moves that we make every day in the street, knowing that we're facing 25 years or actually losing our life for the things that we do.
Yep, because I can write a story just like you, like Promise. I can write a story just like that. And throughout my life, I done seen people selling drugs, seen people using drugs, all in one. I mean, the area I lived in, we didn't call it the hood, but I lived in a complex when I grew up. And just like the hood, they had people on the corner selling the drugs. You knew who was selling what. So if you were a person who was using drugs, you knew who to go to cop your drugs. So I can write a whole story about that. And it's like, wow, you know, and it's like when you read other people's stories that are similar to how you grew up, you're like, wow, I can relate. I remember seeing stuff like this when I grew up. It's like, just like, I would say, like, what is his name? Big Style, that's what his name was, the big drug dealer.
Big Life, yeah.
Yeah. There was somebody in my area who thought he was the big drug dealer of the area. Because he was making the most money out of everybody in the area selling drugs, but he thought he was Big Willie.
Man.
He ain't never just like Big Life, he ain't never get caught, you know, by the cops, but... Well, you know, I don't think he ever got caught for selling drugs, maybe because of his cars, because, you know, he buy cars and they ain't registered right or whatever. He got caught on that. But other than that, he didn't really get caught for drugs. So, but he thought at the time he was selling drugs, he was big time.
Pretty much. That's how it is. It's pretty much our typical story. You know, we want to look up to somebody, and we really don't have nobody to look up to except for drug dealers and pimps, and we pretty much repeat the process and try to get better at it.
Yep. And try to get better at it. And I was like, you know, I even tried, because it was a lot of things going on in that neighborhood that I could really write one of those thick, you know, those thick novels, like that 500-page Turner type book.
Right.
I could write one of those about my neighborhood. That's how much stuff I saw going on, besides there being drug dealers and people using drugs. There's a whole lot of other twists and turns going on in there that I could write about. And it's like, whew. That would be like a 500-page story that would probably be a bestseller. And you know, I know, you know, authors change people. If it is about real people, they change the name so you wouldn't know exactly who the person's talking about. But when people read the story, if I wrote that story, people would have known exactly who I was talking about.
Yeah, they know. Just like in my book, they know exactly who I'm talking about. They know it's a lot of gossip out here. I'm from Sacramento, so they really talking about the book. And did you ever get a chance to go to my website?
Yeah, I did. I saw the website. I saw you had the two children's books up there, and I saw the, you know, the promise book and some other stuff you had up there.
Right, so you can see the variety of other books that I've written, also on the urban books as well.
So did you self-publish your books?
Yes, I did. Self-published. Started my own publishing company.
So how did you do that? Because I know, you know, I read online, you could self-publish, but how did you do it?
I did it... Well, actually, I wrote the books, and then what I did was I got the books edited, and then, of course, I got it copyrighted. Then I went and got my ISBN number, and I got my barcode, and I went and got my license and opened up my own publishing company, and basically just got my book self-published, found me a printing company, and went from there.
See what you could do, people. If you put your mind to it, you might have a story in your head you want to let out. And you could do it yourself and self-publish it.
Yeah, they got a lot of programs for self-publishing, you know, and they charge you to pretty much do everything. But the bottom line is, if you're a thinker, you just have to research everything. The internet is here for all of us now, and when you have an idea and you don't know the answer, you research it and you find the answer and you keep moving.
Because I'm trying to, there's one book that I wrote, well, two books actually that I wrote that I'm trying to finish. And the one I wanted to turn into an audio book. Instead of making it an actual book, make it an audio book. But you know how when you get an audio book, how it's always one person who's reading the whole story.
Right.
But my idea was different, where with my audio book, I wanted it to be each character of the story had their own voice, so you wouldn't hear the same voice throughout the whole story.
That's a beautiful idea.
So as you're reading the story, so if the girl's name is Keisha, Keisha has her own voice. It's not me or somebody else reading it saying, well, Keisha went to the store. You know, as Keisha telling you, I went to the store, and, you know, as Keisha telling you, she went to the store. It's not somebody else's voice throughout the whole story, and each character has their own voice.
Exactly. That's a very good idea. I've even thought about that too, considering that. I've even considered putting my book on audio, even with just the one voice. Because when you get a thought in your mind, you have to freeze that thought, and you have to act on that thought, because if you don't, that thought will drift through your mind, and it'll keep going and go away. You know, the brain is like a garden. You know, if you don't water it and feed it food, it'll just grow weeds, just like a field. And then it'll grow wild. Then your thought pattern will be wild. But if you nourish it and water it and feed it food, then it'll grow what you want it to grow. So that's a beautiful thought right there. And if you act on that thought, you'll be the first one to actually do that.
Because what I was doing, I said, since I got the radio show, I said, what I'm going to do is get some people to read it live on air for me to see how it would sound. So this way, if I actually went through with it, I know with the right people will be the perfect, you know, be the perfect audio book. Because, you know, you come up with an idea you think is good, and then you have the wrong voices for it. Because, and with the wrong voices, it doesn't make that book pop to make people want to sit there and listen to an audio book.
Exactly.
Because, okay, the story is called Side Piece, so you can guess what the story is about. So soon as I say the name.
It's called what?
Side Piece.
Side Piece?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So that's like a female on the side?
Well, it's, you know how we always hear about the man got a chick on the side, but you don't never really. So it's basically a side, you got the side piece chick who's telling her side of the story of being somebody's side piece. And then you got also a dude telling his side of being a female side piece. And then you got the husband and the wife, the ones who are being affected by it, and the ones who got the actual side pieces on the side. And then you got it's reformed side pieces. And so you got two side pieces, a male and a female. You got two reformed side pieces, and then it's the husband and the wife that are being affected, and then the ones with the side pieces. So that's basically the whole thing about the book.
Okay. How many pages have you written?
Well, I haven't typed. Well, I typed some of it, and I have, you know, I've written it down first, and then I typed some of it. And I've gotten, you know, good responses on it, people, because, you know, I'm Black Planet, you know Black Planet, right?
I believe I've heard of it, yeah.
Well, what I did was, because I'm on MySpace, I'm on Black Planet, and, you know, other sites besides, you know, Facebook and stuff like that. So I posted it on Black, what I've written so far, right? I posted from the side piece point of view, the first part, and then I posted, like, pieces of the reform, the first part about the reform side pieces and the husband and the wife and all that. So the part about where the side piece is saying, like, she's every man's fantasy, but she don't go looking for your man come looking for her. So I put that on the site, on my page, on Black Planet, and there was a woman, I think she was from California, getting at me thinking that, now, she thought that it was me talking about I'm somebody's side piece. But it's actually a story. A lot of people was commenting on it, like, really thought I was the side piece and talking about I shouldn't be doing that. And there was one guy who read it, was like, I know it's a story. He was like, I know it's a story. I was like, my name, that's not my name. This is a story. And I was like, wow, people are really being affected by what I wrote. About a side piece? I'm like, wow, if I finish this book, this would be a good book.
Yeah. You know what they say, controversy sells.
So my brother has a magazine, and so he put it in his magazine with the comments. So I sent it to him with the comments. So when people read it in the magazine, they see the comments of the person, you know, what they were saying about. People really thought I was the one who was the side. I'm like, it's a story because the girl starts off the story, and then it goes into the guy telling them why he's a male side piece. So how am I the side piece if there's a male giving his version of him being a side piece? That wouldn't, you couldn't tell that was a story. I was like, wow. People thought I was messing up somebody's marriage. These are... people are not real in this story. You must feel some kind of way because you know people who are just like that. That's why you felt some kind of way.
Exactly. But, you know, people react off stuff that's emotional and real that affects your life. So it might be a pretty good book to be writing.
Yeah, I got to remember where I left. I got to find my book I was writing it in. So I can remember where I left off. Because my thing is, like, I'll write and I'll get a page, like a maybe I'll write about two pages, and then I'll stop and take a break because I have to do something. And then I'll forget to go back to it. But then I'm like, or another story might hit me in the head. So I'm like, let me write down this story I got brewing in my head before I go back to writing that. So I think, but I want, all my stories are short stories, so they're not long. They're not, you know, I'm not trying to do like 200 chapters of a book. I'm not trying to do that. All my books are going to be short stories. I just have to find a great ending for the story.
Yeah, you just got to close them out.
Because I was reading online, it was like, you know, like, I think it was like 12, like up to 12 pages, I think is a short story. Because I didn't want to go over it and then it not be considered a short story. Because I know
right.
they have, you know, page limits. And once you go over, that's not considered a short story no more.
Exactly.
And then I have another book I wrote called Runaway. And this story, you know, is about four, you know, young teenagers who ran away from home. But each one of their stories is different. And the way I wrote it was like you know how they have, you know, like the AA meetings, you know, for drug addicts and alcoholics.
Yes.
And the way I start the story over is like they all in this meeting telling the story of why they ran away. So they introduce themselves like they do in AA meetings, and they're telling you how they ran away. One girl, her mother's, you know, the drug addict, and the father's a drug addict. Just like in your story, the mother's a drug addict, mother's married, she got a stepdad trying to molest her, and the mother don't want to believe her. Because you know that happens all the time, especially in the hood. You hear young girls talking about their mom's husband touching on them, and the mother don't want to believe them. You hear that story all the time. So that's, you know, one of the girls that happens to her, so she runs away because of that. But where they live at is what would throw you off. You would think, oh, okay, she, just from her telling you just that part alone, you would think, oh, she's from the hood. She live in the hood somewhere. But they don't live in the hood. They live in like some small town, but you got to drive to get to the, you know, how they say, small town, big city. So you got to drive to get to the big city. So it's not like she could just take the bus and she be in the city. No, she is like they're in a small town, but she, you know, got a, you know, a ways to get to the big city. I was like, and that story just hit me in the head, and I just ran with it, kept writing and writing, but I didn't finish it, and I stopped because one of the characters is a guy who felt he should have been born a girl. So that was his issue of why he ran away. Is, you know, his parents don't like his mother don't like the fact that he wants to be a girl. So that's why he ran away. And I'm like, and I let people read it. My mom read it, said she liked it. I just have to finish each character's part and give them a good ending.
Yep. Sounds interesting, though.
And me, I don't see. My thing is, even if I did finish it, I don't like typing. That's my problem. I can type, but I don't like typing, especially typing a long story. If I could find somebody to type it for me, I'd be finished in no time with the book.
Oh, yeah. You know, that typing is the hardest part.
Because I talked to, you know, a publishing company that do self-publishing, and it was like, well, we need a whole manuscript in order to tell you we'll publish it for you. And I'm like, oh, I gotta type. I don't feel like typing. I was like, I just need somebody to type it for me, and I'll be good. Because with writing a book, you know, there's a certain format that you got to go by, especially with writing a book.
Yeah, you got to go by that format, but basically when it comes to the editing, there's people out there that are typing your stuff up and edit it for you, but if it's handwritten, it costs you more.
That's because I write it first. You know, I write it handwritten first, and then I'll sit at the computer and I'll type it. But, you know, when you're typing it, especially if you're using Word, you know, after a certain amount of lines, Word jumps to the next page like that, and it's like, it's all one page now, just turning from one page to too many pages, and then you gotta print it out. So it's like, it feels like you're typing 1,000 pages, even though when you see the book, it ain't gonna be 1,000 pages.
It ain't gonna be far from it though. But you gotta remember that, you know, if you type on one side, and the book is, you know, it's gonna be printed on each side. So 1,000 pages might end up being around 600 or 700, maybe 500, depending on how much you're typing on that page, if you're double spacing or if you're single spacing.
Yeah. You know, I get thoughts in my head for books all the time, because a lot of my books that I've started to write are because of being people that I know, like things that they do. Like, I'm like, you know what, this could be a good story right here. Because most of my ideas come from other people's experiences. Like, I wrote a story about domestic violence, and what this story is. This is about the guy being the one being abused, not the girl. It's the guy getting domestic violence stories. You know, you always hear the domestic violence stories, and it's the woman. And now with my book, it's the guy. And it's called Stop Loving Is Supposed to Hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, with that story, I'm like, okay, my brother read it, and my sister-in-law read it. When my brother read it, he asked me, was this story about him and his wife? And I said, no, but that's where the idea came from. It's not, isn't it? Because they, you know, they go through their drama, so I'm like, okay, they go through so much drama. I was like, I could write a story just based on the drama they go through, but it's not actually about them.
Exactly, because more people are going through the same situation.
And you know, with men, you know, that go through domestic violence, they don't like to say nothing because people start laughing at them.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to laugh at. A man get beat up just like a woman do. And we as people, we laugh at the man because he's supposed to be the strong one. So you would think he's the one doing it, but when you find out it's a woman doing it, you're like, you'd rather a woman beat you up? So you a punk? So he's thinking, everybody going to think he a punk because he let a woman beat him up. You're not a punk. You're just doing the right thing, not putting your hands on her, but she shouldn't put her hands on you.
Exactly. So, let the people know they can go to infoaccess.biz if they're interested in checking out my books. And, give it a shot, man. These really captivating books, trying to build myself as an author and a brand, trying to build my publishing company. you know, if you got anybody incarcerated, I do send free books to anybody incarcerated. All you have to do is send me their address. My Facebook.
I do. I got two cousins incarcerated, but I don't know their address. They upstate somewhere, and I don't know their address.
You know,
that's
my
why I can relate. I can relate to your story, and I can, like I said, I can write my own.
Now, dig that. I'm glad my story was motivating, and you should start writing, but you got to start finishing them. You can't just start and don't finish.
Yeah.
You got to finish your books.
Yeah, I do. Because, you know, what comes out this month be good for stories, and I just somehow don't, that oomph ain't hitting me to be like, finish. Stick on it and finish. I have to find my books that I've written the stories in so I can finish.
Well, I wish you good luck and everything, and I hope you do get it done and, you know, check in with me, hit my website. I'm really glad you're filling my book. I'd like to be on your show again.
Yeah, sure. So what's the name of your publishing company for the people to know? Just in case they might have a story they want you to help publish.
It's InfoAccess.biz. That's my publishing company. You know, I also got an off American Gangster Publishing. But for right now, they can just go to InfoAccess.biz. They can email me at GPSG, as in Go, P as in Person, D as in David, A as in Apple, the word legend. Or you can email me at Mr. Gennaro, that's MR.GENARO@yahoo.com. If you're interested in some information and getting your book published, just let me know in the email. If you would like the first free 10 chapters, let me know in the email, and I will send everything to you.
You have a Twitter or a Facebook?
I have a Twitter. It's GPDABeast. That's GP the Beast. My Facebook is GP Money Magnet. MoneyMagnet. So you can check me. I'll leave your comments on my Facebook. If you have anyone incarcerated, you can leave their name and address. I will rush them a book ASAP.
All right. Everybody, that's Gennario. He got a good book called Promise. Like you said, InfoAccess.biz, where you can go get the book. It is a good read. And I appreciate you for doing the show. You know, you're my first author that I've interviewed.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I feel privileged, and I'm really just glad that you just really felt the book. You know, you gave me the response I really wanted. You know, it always excites me when someone reads the book that tells me they don't really hardly read that much, and it excites me. You know, one thing about my writing is I try to write short chapters. So even if you look further to see how much you got left, you're always going to have only two or three pages left at the most, because I write short chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And short chapters.
That's good,
because,
you know, that's good, because people who don't really read like that, they'll, you know, stick to reading the book. Because, you know, some people are like, oh, this is going to take me about 2 or 3 weeks to read because there's so many chapters. But it's not long chapters, so you can finish. If you a good reader, even though you may not read a lot, but you're a good reader, you'll read that book in a day. It won't even have to take you 2 days.
Exactly. Most people read it in a day, and then a lot of them read it in 2 days because, you know, life is still going on. A lot of people go to work and everything, but pretty much 2 days be the max.
Yeah. I can read it in one day because that was a good, you know, page turn. I could read that in one day. But then once I get to the end, I know I'm like, dang, there's got to be more. And I would say, just like the mother people said, you need a part two. I'm like, yeah, where's the part two at? Have you ever thought about turning it into, like, your book into a movie?
Yes, I have. You know, I even had it I was going to have it have a pilot written up that I can start putting out, see if I can get someone to take it. But I haven't did that yet, but yes, that has been a thought, and I'm sure that will happen.
Because there's a lot of books that I've read, like, you know, this could be a good, even if it was not a movie, but, like, you know, like on TV, one of those good miniseries.
Yeah,
you know, like
The Wire.
The Wire. You know,
exactly.
Like The Wire. It could be just like that, like The Wire.
And
you know,
I really
be exactly a movie. It could be a TV series. Because I think people will really get into it how, like they got into The Wire.
Yeah, the guy that pitched me the idea about the pilot said that he would like to pitch it as a series like The Wire. That was the exact words.
That's good. If that happens for you, I wish you the best of luck on that. Because I'm sure there'll be millions of people watching. Because, you know, there's people still acting like gangsters when they really ain't gangsters. So to see shows like that on TV, they'll be interested in watching it.
No doubt.
No, you know what? I have a friend who has business working with inmates. So you say you send the free books to the inmates?
Yes, I do.
Cause I'll ask him. And I'll let you know if the inmates would want a book.
Okay, you let me know.
Because I help him with his business, and he got a lot of inmates on his list that, you know, he helped them out, you know, so they could correspond, you know, to their family and stuff like that. He helped them out a lot. So I'm going to see if, let him ask the inmates if they'd be interested in a book. And then I'll let you know then.
Well, you let me know because I'm very interested.
I'm going to send him an email tonight and let him know. And then he can ask them if there's any interested. And I can give you up. I can tell you how to send it to them and stuff like that. Because a lot of them is in there for a long time. So they'll read your book 10 times over. They'll probably start acting it out like a movie. That's how long of a time they got in there.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's like that.
And the time that they have, and then you hear about the crime they committed, and it's like, wow, just doing that is worth that much time? Like, most people are in there just for selling drugs, and they in there for, like, a lot of time. I'm like, you just sold drugs. I can understand you doing 5 years or 10 years for selling drugs. But when I hear, like, some people doing 20 years for selling drugs,
well, that's
I'm like...
You know, they peep our habits, how we hustle, and while we hustling, trying to get rich, you know, they constantly making up new laws that fit our habits. So if we sell crack, they're going to come up with a law that the first time you get busted, you're going to get 10 years or more. So they're actually figuring out ways to give us more time for the crimes that we commit, regardless if it's violence or nonviolence. That's why the bottom line is You have to think outside the box, and you have to come up with a hustle that's legitimate. If you don't come up with a legitimate hustle in your life, then you're always going to have a temporary hustle, and it's always going to have a bad ending, which is going to be a lot of time, or maybe even a death sentence, because that's how it's
divided. Because I know it's like one of the guys that was locked up, that's on his list, he was like, he went in there, I think, for drugs, but he was also a rapper. So what he's doing, he said he already signed himself up, but when he get out, he's starting his own record label.
Mm-hmm.
So while he's in there, he's getting his logo and all that stuff made. So when he get out, everything will be set up already. He can just go right into doing his record label. He ain't got to worry about the streets anymore.
Exactly. You know, it's a terrible place to be, but it's also a place where you can really get your best thinking going. You know, and you can come up with a plan, and you can think outside the box, you know, because you're able to see, you know, from the outside looking in that the life you was living is bad, and it's got a bad ending. It's going to always have a bad ending. That's why when you read the book, you're able to put yourself on the outside looking in. You're able to see it in how people is thinking. That's why the book is way more powerful than just a rap song. You know, you actually can see what a person is thinking and why he does what he does.
Yeah. If you really want to know hood life, read a hood book. Listen to the rappers tell you about the hood. Most of them be lying. So it's like, most of them definitely be lying. So I don't know if I want to trust a rapper telling me about the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So how long were you rapping before you started writing?
Well, I've been, you know, rapping probably about 10 years or so, you know, same as everybody else. Rap come out, everybody want to be a rapper. No, I'm just trying to make my tomorrows better than my yesterdays. I done got raps, CDs, DVDs, movies, now books. You know, one thing I know about the DVDs and the CDs, the difference in them and the book is, okay, of course the book is more detailed and it really gives you a better visual of what's going on, but you can't take the book in the house and make 100 copies and be bootlegging them the same day when the book come out, like you can do CDs and DVDs. So that already is a plus.
And how you gonna bootleg somebody writing? You can't bootleg what somebody wrote.
No, you can't bootleg that. I mean, if you can bootleg it, but it takes money and time.
Yeah, because you got to think about it. If you bootleg a book, you got to think if that book was 1,000, it had 1,000 pages. That's a lot of chapters. So there's no way in the world that you would sit and bootleg a book with 1,000 pages. There's no way in the world you would do that.
Exactly. You know, you really have to, you know, decide that this is an investment for you and you're going to make money. But most of us don't think that far ahead. We'll go copy some CDs and DVDs that take 15, 20 minutes. You know, we ain't going to actually spend no money and go to a printing company.
You ain't even got to go to a printing company. You can go right to Staples and they'll they'll put it together for you.
Yeah, but that'll cost you a lot of money, a lot more than what you could sell the book for.
Yep. But there are some people who will be dumb enough to do it because they think they're going to make a lot of money.
Well, you know, if it ever gets to the point where they want to bootleg the book, then, you know, the book must be really good to go through all that.
I've been walking down the street, be seeing them guys and the Africans with the book stands trying to sell you a book. Or in the mall, you're sitting with the kiosk. job trying to sell the urban books.
You in New York, right?
No, I'm in New Jersey, but I'm from New York.
Okay, so you right there in New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just in New York about a couple months ago, and I was in New Jersey.
So you know what I'm talking about. You seen them Africans on the street.
they try to get you to buy the book.
But see, the thing about it, it ain't that we don't want to buy the book, it's that we don't know the author. People buy books that they know the author, they're familiar with the author. Mm-hmm. Of course, most people are going to buy it because it's an urban book talking about drug dealing and, you know, the basic stuff you see on every street, mostly every street corner. But me, I got to know the author or the book when I read the back cover. Just that alone got to be kind of interesting to me, to me to be like, okay, I'm going to spend whatever he's charging for the book, don't want to read it. So what part of Jersey was you in?
I'm not sure. I was right there by New York, where you just go right over the bridge.
Oh, that's Fort Lee. Because I'm right behind Fort Lee. I live in Englewood, New Jersey.
Oh, Fort Lee.
That's right there. As soon as you come across the bridge, you hit Fort Lee, and then you hit Englewood. So.
Yeah, but I'm messing with a company called Double Exposure. They're in Fort Lee.
That's Angelo Ellerby.
Right. Yeah,
he's right there. He's in Fort Lee. He's right there in Fort Lee. That's good. You got Angelo back.
I'm calling you back. Don't you call me back?
Oh, okay.
That's good. You got Angelo back in you. Because he don't play when it comes to doing, you know, business.
Serious? You're a good dude, huh?
Yeah, because he's working with Karen White as well, so. And he don't, you know, he got that attitude like he don't play. Like, he is a nice guy, but he does have that attitude. When it comes to business, he don't play. He makes sure you don't mess up his mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people hire people to, you know, to back them up, and then they don't know what they're doing. So you got a good person at Double Exposure.
Well, that's good, because I need to get out there. People need to know about the book.
Yeah, I'm a in my blog site, I'm going to write something up about the book.
Well, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to send you the whole manuscript so you can read the book.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I want you to really know what's going on in this book.
Okay.
And
I know people that will be interested in reading that. So I'm going to write, you know, on my blog, write something real good. So I can get people to read it, and then when they're like, huh? I got to get this book.
I'm going to call on texting you back.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up.
All right.
You got the email and everything. I'm going to send it to you. And you let me know what you think about the rest of the book, okay?
I'm sure will. I'm make sure I dive right into it as soon as you send it to me.
And let your readers know I'm infoaccess.biz if they want to order the book, okay?
Definitely, I got it in my email, so I definitely post it up.
Okay, and I enjoy talking to you, and you have a happy holiday.
You too.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. We'll do it again. I'll let you know when.
Okay.
All right. You're so welcome. Everybody, that is Genevieve Patterson, author of Promise. That's a good book. Y'all need to get it. At infoaccess.biz, you can get Promise. That is a good read. You won't put it down. For those of you who like urban novels, you don't even read urban novels, this one you would like to read.
Yeah.
It's a great storyline. It'll keep you interested, you know. Even if you're not an avid book reader, it definitely will keep you interested. This would be a book you could talk about in your book club. For those that are in book club, bring diversity to the book club. All right.
Okay, you have a good night. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
I hope to hear from you soon.
You will.
Okay, y'all go check out the book, man. It's really hot. They already calling it a check it out. Real book, and it's about real life.
Joe, the book is on infoaccess.com. It's infoaccess. No, it's infoaccess.biz. My bad, it's not .com, it's .biz. See, I'm already messing up. It's infoaccess.biz. I'm sorry if I gave the wrong address. And the book is called Promise by author Genevieve Patterson. He also has children books on there. So, you know, you can cop the children's books as well for your kids who's of age of reading books like that. I think the age range, I think, is like to 12 years old. Welcome, Joe. Well, I still got some time left. So what I'm going to do is play some music. I'm going to go play some old school for y'all. And this one I want to play is Marvin Gaye's You Sure Love the Ball. Oh, honey, I hope you never breathe. That one goes out to my brother Will. R.I.P. Will. That was your song right there. Next song I'm going to play is Aaron Neville's Tell It Like It Is.
If you want something to play with, go and find yourself a toy. Baby, my time is too expensive, and I'm not a little boy. If you are serious, don't play with my heart, it makes me furious. But if you want me to love you, then a baby I will. Girl, you know I will. Tell it like it is. Don't be ashamed, let your conscience be your guide. But I know deep down inside of me, I believe you love me. Forget your foolish pride. Life is too short to have sorrow. Be here today and gone tomorrow. You might as well get what you want. So go on and live. Baby, go on and live. Tell it like it is. I'm nothing to play with. Go and find yourself a star. Tell it like it is. My time is too expensive, and I'm not your little boy.
Tell it next song I have for you is one of my favorites, and it's by Tower Power. This song is called You're Still a Young Man.
Hey, now.
Recognize that was Lenny, but that was Lenny Williams on the lead of that song. That is one of my favorite songs by Tower of Power. Next song I got is the OJ's, Used to Be My Girl.
Loving. Ask me how I know.
OJ's when she used to be my girl. That is my song right there. Next song I got for y'all before the show is over. This song right here is, it's a thin line between love and hate.
Trying to show love is right. Oh, but can't help calling your name in the middle of the night.
Bo Bryson did it over on, I think, one, he came out, Peebo Bryson came out with a, I think a best of album, and I think it was on that album, I'm not mistaken. I'd like to appreciate everybody for that tuned in tonight. It was a great interview with Genario. Definitely would do it again. You know, talk more about Promise and his children's books and all the other books he has written. If you go to his site, infoaccess.biz, buy all his books. Even if you email him at gpthelegend@yahoo.com, you can get the 10 free chapters he mentioned. So, that's a good thing. And I'm definitely going to do a write-up so he definitely can get a lot of people interested into buying his book. And we are in the archives now, so for those who are in the chat right now, I see Joe Glass is still rocking with me in the chat even though the show is over. I think it will play back from the beginning. If he starts it over, it'll play back from the beginning. But he won't hear what I'm... I don't think he'd be able to hear what I'm saying. Let me see. I never thought about that. That once the live show is over, if you play it back while you're still in the archives, will you be able to hear what the host is saying? I'm going to refresh and see if I can do that. Let me see if I can do that and see if I hear myself while I'm still in the archives.
Be part of an experiment to prove that Febreze Aerosol...
That'd be a first, y'all. While I'm still in the archives, be able to hear myself. That'd be a first. But it was a good interview with Genario Patterson, the author of Promise. He got children's books. You know what I'm saying? Thanks, Joe Glass. Glass Joe is following me now. I said, good. You know, the name, you know, people, you know, when they sign on to be as a listener, and the names they give themselves, I mean, you know, most people give themselves names that have a meaning that, you know, a name maybe people will remember. So if they was ever in their chat room listening to their show, it'll be a name they'll remember. And you say he'll return and listen to another show of mine. I appreciate it. Y'all don't know, like, when there's someone in the chat room and they stick around for a long time, I appreciate it because that's a really, you know, people come into the chat, they sit there 5 minutes, it might be a song playing that they like, so they'll sit there and listen to their song. After their song is over, they'll leave. So, you know, I appreciate those that stick around. You know, definitely, will, like I said, we'll interview Genario again. And I definitely going to put a campaign out to get people to buy his book because he self-published it. So you know when you self-publish a book and you're not backed by a big publishing company. Because, you know, people, you know, like Harlequin is a big publishing company. And if you don't read, you know, you read different authors off of Harlequin. So you know if a new author comes out on Harlequin, you're going to want to check out to see if this author is good. But when you self-publish your own book, it's hard to get people to, you know, to know if you're a good writer or not. That's why I'm glad he's giving away 10 free chapters. That's what's so good about it when you give away 10 free chapters of your book so people read it. And then when you get to the 10th chapter, it's not finished. It's like you're left on that cliffhanger. It's like you left on that cliffhanger. And he said he's going to send me the rest of the book so I can read it and he can get my opinion on it. Because, I mean, to read 10 chapters in one day, that's really a stretch for me if the book is, you know, because I don't read like that. And I think when I read stories, I want stories that's going to grab me from beginning to end. And it's like, I'm like, I want to know who this promise dude is. Like, when you read the story, you want to know who this promise dude is. And then it's like, when you read about, like, his mom's being on drugs and, you know, like, all these people, you know, their families is on drugs. And my favorite part out of that 10 chapters I read already is the sex part, the sex scene part in the book, where No Good, one his promises best friend No Good, kidnaps Big Life's girlfriend. Well, I shouldn't be telling y'all the book like that, but he kidnaps Big Life's girlfriend and winds up having sex with her, where he took her to after he kidnapped her. And usually, you know, when you're reading sex scenes in a book, you can visualize exactly what's happening. And I'm like, wow, I can really vision this. You know, I can really picture this happening to some chick. I can vision that. So it's not one of them sex scenes you're like, oh, that's it. You know, nah. When you read that part, when you read especially that part, you're going to like it. I shouldn't be giving away the book. Like, I'm not giving you away the whole book, but when you give away bits and, well, I guess giving away bits and pieces of it will get you interested in wanting to read it. All you got to do is go to infoaccess.biz to get the book Promise. You know, and if you, you know, get the children's books for your kids. You know, I'm going to read that book. And I'm going to pass around. What I'm going to do, since I got the free 10 chapters, those who are interested, I think I'm going to help him out and pass around the 10 chapters he sent me. If I get people interested in wanting to read it, I think I'll send it, have them tell me what they thought, and I'll tell him, you know, through email what people thought and if they're going to buy the book or not. Because, you know, some people read excerpts of a book, and then because they're such avid readers, instead of them buying the book, they go to the library and read it. Because it might be one of those books you want to read, but you don't want to keep in your library. You know, people that have book libraries in their home. You know, it's a book you read, but you don't want to keep in your library because it's not the style of book you technically read a lot. Like I said, my mom is an avid reader, and I asked her if she wanted to read it. She said, well, she don't read novels like that, so if it wasn't about, you know, drug dealers and all that stuff, and it was about romance, she definitely would read it and definitely give him, you know, if the book was good or not. I guess if you want to be a book writer, you got to find what your niche is. Like, he's writing on what he knows. He knows her life. I know her life, so I can write on that, but I choose not to because that's not who I am. So I think you write with who you are. Not to say he was this big-time drug dealer or that it even was about him. It might be about people he know, but he was in that lifestyle. I wasn't. So even though I've seen it, I can't really give you that in-depth perspective that a book like that would need. Because a lot of these, I think most of these urban books that are being written, sometimes the person may not have lived in the hood. So how would you know about the hood if you never lived in it? That's my, you know, aspect of it. It's like, you can't write about what you don't know. If you ain't never lived in the hood, you can't rap about it, you can't sing about it, you can't write about it because you never lived it. There's so many people that probably you run across that probably told you about what went down, and you took what they told you and ran with it and made a story out of it. And it's like, you may not use the person's name as a character, but they would know you're writing about what they told you. But they didn't give you the whole story, so you gotta, the rest of it you gotta come up with to make it sound good to get people to want to buy your book. But I'm gonna get up this thing in a few, and like he said, I should finish what I started. But it's like so many stories pop in my head that I can write, that I get to writing them down. And then I stop because it's like there's so many stories that I've written that I haven't finished. And I think what I'm going to do is the two books I really want to finish is Runaway and Side Piece. I got to figure where I left off with Side Piece so I can finish that. And where I left off of Runaway to finish that. If you go to Bebo.com/, I think it's / Ms. Giggo, it's MSGIGO, you can read Runaway on there, and then I have another story called Love Me Tender on there as well. I don't think I put Side Piece up on there. If you go to MySpace.com, and / Miss Rivens, that's MRSRIVEN, and you go into the blog section of that, my MySpace, you can read Side Piece on there, and you can read Runaway as well. Like I said, I told y'all many times I write songs as well as I write stories. But I'm more, I think because I'm so more into songwriting than I am to actually just writing a story. I think that's another reason probably why I'm not finishing the stories, because I'm focused so more about wanting to be a songwriter, when my niche is probably more into writing, just writing itself. So I'm going to do like Janaria said, you know, get into it and finish writing them, because there'll be some great stories. There's going to be some great stories, you know. But like I said, I want to turn side piece into an audio book and make it that the character, each character has their own voice. So that'll be good. I'm going to test it out on the radio and then have, you know, people call in and say yay or nay to it. Because then if I get a lot of nays than yays, then it's not a good idea to make it an audio book with different voices. Maybe just a regular audio book. Because you know you got a lot of people, you got one person who can do many different character voices. Maybe have one person read it, but it'd be different character voices for each character. Could do that. But he told me that was a good idea to have that, you know, each character have their own voice. Because when you read a story, you can picture the person, the main character, you can picture them sounding exactly how a hood person would sound. Or you could picture, if it's about a bougie person, you could picture exactly what that bougie person is sounding like, because you've been around somebody who's bougie to know exactly what they sound like. And that's basically it. You know, I'm going to get it popped. You know, that's basically it. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to finish those two. Make sure just those two stories as of right now that I finish it. And then get someone to type it for me. And once they, you know, type it for me, I may can send it out to, you know, get it self-published. And be working the dough off the... But you got... So that's the thing about being a self-published author. You got to publish... Not publish. You got to promote your book like crazy. You got to promote it like crazy. You got to promote it like crazy. And I got my mom, my sister, I didn't read it, so they'll definitely will read it, and if I needed to tweak something here or there, they would tell me. My aunt will read it, so I can send her copies, and she will read it and tell me where to tweak it at, and, you know. And I know if I send it to Janera, he would tell me also what he think I should tweak it at to make it better. And like I said, the Runaway story is like, it's four characters, and they're like in like an AA program, for runaways. So just picture you got four runaways in like a group session, like for AA, telling you why they ran away and explaining their story. So as you read it, you're like, wow. But when you read it, you're going to be like, wow, I know people that this happened to. Well, I'm going to get off this thing. Check me out again at 11 p.m. Where it'll be a discussion topic. I don't know what my discussion topic is going to be, but it's going to be something good. I got to have a good discussion for Tuesday's show. I got to have a good discussion. I don't know. I gotta have a good discussion. Yes, it's definitely, I'm gonna make sure it's a good one. Maybe it might be promotions for Genario's book. Maybe I might do promotions and I might read some excerpts from his book on the air to get y'all to get y'all to tune it, get y'all to get the book. Maybe I might do that at 11. I don't know. But I know whatever topic I choose is going to be something good. And Wednesday's tribute show is to Eric Roberson. But y'all don't know who that is, the indie artist. He's an indie R&B artist. That I love his music. So that's what Wednesday tribute show is going to be. And this Thursday is the last freestyle. I think this Thursday is the last Freestyle Friday show. I mean Freestyle Battle Show. I didn't mean Freestyle Friday, I meant Freestyle Battle Show. I think this Thursday is the last one. I think this Thursday is the last one. I'm going to look at my calendar. Okay, I don't know what's up with Blog Talk. But for some reason, my show is not playing and I press play on the player. Excuse me. I know the Blog Talk been doing that lately. But some shows that you press play to listen to, it doesn't play it. But I'm like, that don't make sense. People did a show and I want to hear it. Well, it's all good. Well, I'm getting off this thing right now. Never know. I might start writing a whole new story tonight. Maybe it'll be about a radio show host. Just a thought. Maybe that's what I'll do. I think maybe that's what I'll do Tuesday's show. Is read you excerpts from a story and then I might do that. Read you excerpts from a story to get the listener's opinion on it. And I'll read excerpts from Genario's story as well. And I could say yay or nay. Y'all could call in and say yes if you like it, no if you don't. You know? But it was a great interview with Genario. Definitely, you gotta have him back on the show. He said he was on signing Death Row Records, but I don't remember his. I wonder if he used Genio as his rap name. That's probably why I don't know who he is. And that's another thing. Like I said, a lot of people don't use their real name in the music biz, so especially rappers. So I wonder if he used his real name, if he used Genario as his rap name. If I Google him, I'll probably find out what his name was as a rapper. Well, I'm off this thing. Peace. And good night. Thank you for listening to the archives of the Road to Stardom Radio interview with Genario Patterson, author of Promise. please go cop that book at infoaccess.biz. That's infoaccess.biz. If you want the free chapters before you buy the book, go to gpdalegend@yahoo.com. Send him an email at gpdalegend@yahoo.com and tell him you want the 10 free chapters. If you know an inmate in jail, let me know by sending their name and their inmate information to roll2stardom@gmail.com. If you know of them being readers of, you know, urban novels, and I will have Genario send them a book. And I'm sure it'll be a signed copy as well. So that's good. You get a free book and it's signed by the author. So that's a good thing he's doing. So if you know anyone, like he said, you can hit him up at the email I mentioned, or you could hit me up at roll2stardom@gmail.com. And I definitely will contact him and let him know that there's people in jail that want the book. That's why I'm going to hit up my peoples who have their own stories working with inmates and have him, you know, have him send out a message to the inmates if they want a copy of this book. They get it for free, and then we have it shipped out to the inmates, and it'll be a signed copy from the author. I don't think he just send books and not sign it. You know, that's what makes it more special is when you sign it. Makes it more special that way. Well, off this, I am. Again, I will say peace, and I'll holler at you again at 11 p.m.